There's a lot of news coming out of Ukraine, especially about the battle in Soledar. Let's go live to Joseph Lindsley and get the latest. Hello, Joseph.
Bob, good afternoon from Lviv. It's old New Year's Eve because, you know, there's the calendar change in the 1500s. But in Eastern Christianity, they still have some of these dates. So this is called Shedri Vecher, which means beautiful evening. There's a lot of traditions associated with it, but we still have the skies have been calm. There still has been no air alarm since January 6th in central and in western Ukraine. And so it is a strange, peaceful day. It's a sunny day. The weather's been actually pretty warm. It's about 40 degrees. Meanwhile, it's been very cold in Moscow, like in the teens. But Ukraine has been warmer than it normally is probably ever during the winter. There is, even though here in Lviv, it's calm at the moment, you know, all eyes are looking at the battles that are happening in Donbas. And the past 4 days here in Lviv, every single day, there have been funerals at the garrison church, the military church of St. Peter's and Paul, several funerals a day. So just a reminder of the toll of the war. There was a funeral for a 28-year-old radio mechanic, a 45-year-old father of two, a 35-year-old father of three, a 32-year-old archaeologist and historian, a 54-year-old grandfather, and another 54-year-old who worked at a psychiatric hospital, a 30-year-old sportsman who worked in IT, and then in the neighboring region, from the neighboring region of Ivano-Frankivsk, that mountainous region, a 21-year-old girl, Tatiana, a warrior as well, was killed yesterday by a Russian drone near Bakhmut. And so, you know, this is, as you hear those funeral bells and you see the processions go through the city, people kneel in the streets, you know, even far in the west of the country, everyone feels this very deeply.
As Steve reported on the news at 7 o'clock, Ukrainian officials say Moscow's claims that its forces have taken the town of Soledar in eastern Ukraine are not true. What do you know? And what are you hearing, Joe? Yeah.
Well, we know that Moscow has claimed this several days, you know, almost every day they claim, oh, now we've taken it, which means that they were lying the first, you know, previous time. It's very difficult. I mean, I've seen some images, overhead images, drone images of Soledar. It's basically destroyed. You know, it's interesting that, and here we also see part of the Putin propaganda, the Kremlin propaganda. Everyone was talking about Bakhmut. And even when Zelensky was speaking in Washington, you know, he had just returned from Bakhmut. He said the Battle of Bakhmut is like the Battle of Saratoga. And Russia has been unable to take that city. Bakhmut, by all accounts, is a fortress. In fact, I just saw a video of a Polish volunteer delivering Christmas presents to the remaining children in Bakhmut. And so now all of a sudden, Russia, they couldn't take Bakhmut. And so they're shifting to Soledar, which is, it's like if you were going to war against the Midwest and you couldn't take Chicago, you couldn't even take Aurora, but you went after like a town like Plano or some town with 10,000 people in Illinois, and you were claiming that's some kind of major strategic goal. I mean, it's and what we have in the main Russian forces that are trying to take Soledar, it's the Wagner Group. It's this mercenary outfit run by the guy who was known as Putin's chef. He was a business guy, and he owns restaurants, and he was, you know, Putin trusted him to prepare food for him. But he runs this mercenary group, Wagner Group, which has operations in Africa, in the Middle East. And they're very ruthless. And this guy, it seems that if he loses Soledar, if he can't take Soledar, he loses his reputation. And so this is very personal, this effort to take this very small town. But I think it's also part of the Russian efforts to, you know, they don't want to admit that they're unable to take any Ukrainian city.
Yeah, it's interesting the perspective you give us by comparing it to Chicago and the suburbs here and other towns in Illinois. That does help us understand the situation there.
Yeah, and I was doing research on different populations of towns in Illinois because I'm trying to make you understand it myself. I mean, Soledar is it's only 10,000 people, or it was before the war, we really see here the propaganda machine making everyone think that this is the most important thing. When really the story is Russia looks quite weak, and this is why, again, NATO Secretary General has been saying You know, this is the time to get better weapons to Ukraine, to move more quickly. France announced within the past 24 hours that they're going to send some tanks, sophisticated tanks to Ukraine, but within the next 2 months. You know, and you know, this is so that's going to be, you know, approaching the 1 year anniversary of this war, and so the refrain here, and I guess especially from the Eastern Europeans, the Polish president that was here, the Lithuanian president, is let's try to move this more quickly to get victory. And I think, as if you look at, you know, in America, we hear about all the billions of dollars that have been spent on Ukraine, but a lot of that's Washington accounting. And I think we have to keep in mind that a lot of that aid is in the form of loans that have to be repaid. And then a lot of it is old equipment that was already paid for a long time ago. And simply you're paying for the cost of transporting it and for training. But in the valuation, when we see, like, you know, we hear about $100 billion coming to Ukraine, within that number is included the original price of these weapons, which is a price that was paid a long time ago in the States. And so because I think when Americans say, oh, Ukraine wants more, haven't we given enough? So we got to look at some of the Washington gamesmanship with the way they announced how much money has actually been given.
Meanwhile, judging by what you say, some prayers have been answered with Moscow experiencing a very cold winter. And in Ukraine, it's unseasonably warm. That must help lift the spirits of the people there, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, and today is such a beautiful sunny day. You know, people have smiles on their faces. And I mean, it is uncanny. I mean, so in Kharkiv, which is 30 miles from Russia, it's been cold, pretty cold. I mean, like in the 20s. But Moscow has been like 10 or 9 degrees. And it's if you look at the weather maps, it is quite uncanny. Once you cross the border, it gets significantly colder. And so, yes, and it really is vital, because there still is, I mean, in our news bunker, we're fortunate usually to have power and heat. But in most of Lviv and cities around the country, you still have 4 to 8 hours a day without electricity, without heat. And so it's really a great thing that it's not so cold.
Joe, I'll leave you this morning with a text from one of our listeners that you'll enjoy. This came in after we spoke yesterday. Bob, I would buy Joseph Lindsley's book over Harry and Meghan's. I suspect we are the exception to the rule, though. Americans love gossip, and Spare will be a bestseller for a long time in the United States. But let me know when Joseph's book comes out. There you go.
Wow, thanks. And I think, you know, a book could be a bestseller without the gossip, but it requires some marketing genius and creativity. But so that gives me that note gives me encouragement. So thank you.
have a peaceful weekend, we hope, Joe, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Bob. Until Monday.